Hello, my name is Terry Cheap. You are listening to Crisis and Concern for November 8, 2014. This broadcast is commentary on current events as seen through a biblical worldview. Today we find ourselves post-midterm election and looking at a much different Congress. At least many of us hope so in terms of theology and ideology. I want to say there were many pieces of legislation and strategy changes and positions the outgoing Senate took that I didn't agree with. However, they were our Senate, and I want to say thanks for serving public office in our nation. This work is not easy, and it is thankless. Like most work, it is often made harder than necessary because of the temptation to make decisions or changes that are known to be moving in a popular but wrong direction. With that said, to the incoming Senate and the current House of Representatives, please understand this. The evangelical Christian did not vote for you because of your political party. We voted for you because of your stand on issues we know are crucial to the survival of this nation. For example, the threat of federal government intervention into affairs of the church, federal government overreach into state rights such as marriage, health care, and education, the failing federal policies on illegal immigration, terrorism, and foreign affairs. Don't forget about the attempts to ignore or distort the Constitution. I really believe you get the message. If the incoming group fails to listen to the majority of voting citizens, you too will be replaced. I joined thousands of pastors this year with a desire to encourage the evangelical Christian church to once again get involved and get into the voting booth. For too long, the church has been too silent. It was time for that to change. And as a pastor and Christian leader, I promise to look ahead and immediately and prayerfully prepare for the 2016 election. To the evangelical church, I want you to realize your job is not finished. Many of you went to the voting booth and done your duty as a citizen. Now, it is time you do your duty as a Christian. The most important thing on your agenda should be your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're not living in total obedience to the Lord, how can you hold someone else to that standard? Focus on your personal life and pray. Pray for God's intervention into your life, your family, your work, your government. Do not let this government try to operate without the people of God lifting them up, asking for His intervention into the decisions they make and how they make them. Christian, stay in touch with your elected officials. Let them know what God says about the matters. Contrary to presidential remarks made in 2009 about America no longer being a Christian nation, I feel it is a weaker one perhaps, but nonetheless a Christian nation. Our roots date back to the Pilgrims and Plymouth Rock and the Mayflower. Yes, we are a Christian nation with a great commission that includes being the lighthouse for evangelical missions worldwide. God isn't done with us yet. How do I know? The rapture has not happened. So Christians, there is time and grace to make corrections in our lives. Corrections that first involve our personal walk with God, then corrections in our involvement with this nation. Let me move on to other very important topics of interest. I want to wish the Reverend Billy Graham a belated happy birthday. I participated in social media events on Friday. Reverend Graham has been the nation's pastor for so long. He has made such an impact on this nation. Our thoughts and prayers are with him, and I hope yours are too. So, Reverend Graham, thank you for everything you've done, and happy birthday. This week, we find ourselves once again face to face with same-sex marriage. This time, on two very opposite extremes. The Sixth Circuit Court upheld marriage between a man and a woman. Many on both sides of the marriage issue are saying this will now be decided by the Supreme Court. If the High Court was waiting on a split ruling between lower courts, they now have it and their justification to make a ruling. It is my belief, along with many others, that this issue should be a state issue and not a federal issue at all. Since there is no specific constitutional language regarding the spiritual matter of marriage. After all, God created marriage, not the government. Therefore, God should be recognized as the one who defines it. On another note, regarding same-sex marriage, the issue of religious beliefs in business practice is once again on the front page. While this story does not take place in the United States, it does mirror one that did. In Ireland, a bakery refused to prepare a Bert and Ernie wedding cake for same-sex couples. The couple filed a complaint, and as a result, their government intervened, saying the bakery was guilty of religious and sexual orientation discrimination. Proving this is a very contentious issue worldwide, and God's people are willing to oppose being forced to participate in activities that are contrary to the Bible. My concerns in America do not really involve laws being passed that force pastors to perform same-sex marriage. My concern is that legislation will not prohibit civil action against pastors and churches. Remember the bakery here in America whose owners refused to bake the wedding cake? The bakery was sued. The same-sex couple won and gained such a large settlement it forced the closure of the business. What would happen to many of our churches if we were sued over refusing to perform same-sex marriage and we lost? The financial payouts would force the doors to close. I realize the church would still function. It always has, and it even prospered during these times. But what message would this send regarding the spiritual condition of our nation? This is another reason I firmly proclaim today is the day the church makes our stand, reversing the compromise of the Word of God. As we conclude this broadcast, I feel I should address the Pope's very incomplete and unclear mass that was given yesterday. Pope Francis made a partial quote of the Apostle Paul when discussing pagan Christians. These pagan Christians are supposed to be enemies of the cross. Well, I agree with him in context. However, the posting I read did not have the Pope explaining his comment, pagan Christians. I understand he is talking about those who claim the name, but cherry-pick the parts of the lifestyle they want to embrace. Their life appears more worldly than Christ-like, and I can agree with that. What concerns me is the sudden embrace of the homosexual lifestyle and their further leaning into unbiblical doctrine that has been shown by the Catholic Church. I have many Catholic friends, and we agree on a lot of sound biblical doctrine. Admittedly, they do not follow the Pope as the Catholic Church asks them to do. They do worship in a Catholic Mass as respect for family heritage more often than not. And I personally see the Pope catering to special interest groups that can promote the work of Catholicism as opposed to the work of Christ. This is something interesting to watch over the coming months. Friends, don't let the controversy of this world get you down. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. We have reason to worship the Lord and work for the kingdom of God. Don't get caught with your talent buried when Jesus returns. Before we say goodbye, let me encourage you to listen to the Calvary Missionary Baptist Church sermon audio page. There are many sermon selections there. And along with Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, there are many excellent broadcasters on the Sermon Audio website. This is Terry Cheek. You have been listening to Crisis and Concern for November 8, 2014.